Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Tommy.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Ernest.
Let's get started.
So Ernest, not Justin.
Ernest, not Justin. Well, I do miss Justin a little bit.
Trying to remember what he was like.
I don't remember what he looked like. I remember his shoes. That's the only thing.
I almost wore open sandals in remembrance. Well,
yeah, with socks.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us can touch his
sense of style.
Pediatric. Wait, not pediatric. That's children. What's the other word?
Wow.
Therapeutic.
Nope. You're getting closer.
It's not that. What is it? You don't even know.
I'm trying to think of the word that you want to say.
But anyway, those sandals are not normal sandals. Like you have to
orthopedic.
Go, orthopedic sandals. Thank you. Yeah.
Orthopedic. Wow, Tommy.
Yeah.
Therapeutic. Well,
but anyway, I'm glad. Pediatric. I'm so glad Ernest is here with us. Aren't you, Jeff?
I am, you know.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Man, that's good.
Golly, cut it out. That's enough. Right.
Inflating my ego here.
That's right.
We don't even get that kind of reaction.
Well, Ernest, we're excited to have you, man. And I tell you, the time that we've been able to get to know each other and hear your story and all that the Lord's done in your life, man, I couldn't think of anybody better to have on here to share that. And we're going to get to that a little bit later on. But we wanted to ask, you know, how do you pronounce this place that you're from?
So, yeah, Ernest, he's not from here.
Listen, Tommy, how would you pronounce where he's from first?
I would pronounce it like normal people would.
Normal people.
Yeah.
Like you. You're normal.
Yeah. Okay. Hawaii.
Hawaii. But yeah. It's pronounced.
It's Hawaii.
I mean, when I spell it, I don't put a V in it. I just want.
Correct. Yeah. In the Hawaiian language, W is pronounced with a V.
Hawaii. Like that?
Hawaii.
Hawaii. Like that? Yeah. Is that better? No, that's pretty good.
That was good.
Yeah. Hawaii.
Sounded a little angry when you said it.
Oh, I was trying to sound like a surfer dude. Hawaii.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Works. But anyway, Ernest is from Hawaii. And so, Ernest, tell us about that. So, you weren't born in Hawaii.
No. Dad was military. I was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and then grew up in the Philippines, right at the base of Mount Pinatubo.
Oh.
And we actually left like not long before it erupted.
Oh, you know, that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Good timing.
I know.
That's good timing. And, you went,
go ahead. And so stayed there for 3 years, moved to Hawaii.
Right. So just so everyone knows, Ernest is in our men's group.
Right.
And I'm just curious, how long have you been in this group? A couple of years now.
Yeah.
It feels like it. It's been several. I feel like I've known you a long time.
Yeah, it feels like a while.
Yeah.
I'm but how'd you get started?
Jeff actually invited me.
Oh, good. Yeah. Way to go, Jeff.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
About time. I think you're...
Is there a button for me?
Yeah, there is.
I didn't get it. Oh, there it is. I'll take it. Yeah. Thank you.
Definitely divine intervention. I was looking for, you know, something. I didn't, you know... I didn't really have a consistent fellowship outside of just your normal service and, you know, connect group and stuff like that. So when you invited me, I was definitely, it was what more like an answered prayer, you know, because I needed it.
How long had you been here in this area already when you met Jeff and coming to the group?
Well, so when we first moved out here, we got involved with a smaller church. It was kind of born out of a house in Shelby Forest. And we were there for, 7, 8 years, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And then as time went on, I guess that church ended up kind of closing down. And that pastor went on to pastor a different church. And we started coming here because, you know, one of the things that came up a lot in the teaching at that church was about serving in your area, serving in your community. And here we were in Tipton County, you know, coming out to Shelby County and fellowshipping and serving out there. So we kind of took that teaching and we're like, well, you know, we've heard a lot about Gateway. Let's go check it out. And we started coming and, you know, one thing led to another, started meeting people, got invited and ta-da.
And then you were here how long before you started coming to the men's group?
I'm not entirely sure. I kind of really, you know, I felt the importance of getting involved right away, mm-hmm. you know, instead of kind of just being someone who comes and just kind of comes, mm-hmm. you know, and until somebody finds me, you mm-hmm. know. So I kind of made it a point to make sure I started meeting people, you know, and kind of getting involved. I'm not sure how long we were here before yeah. you invited me.
I think that's a reoccurring theme that that we've had here in the last several episodes about sometimes, and you may be very comfortable in seeking out and talking to people and developing a relationship and being proactive in that. Others may not be. But I would say that this is where we encourage people, hey, if you're feeling like you want to be a part of something, don't sit by and wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we like Jeff and I, we mm-hmm. search for people like you, but it also has to be a reciprocating kind of interest there to want to do it too.
Yeah.
And Jeff saw that in you, saw a hunger in you and a desire for you, you know, in you to be around other men who the whole purpose to grow closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
And so that's an easy, that was easy for you.
Sure.
That was an easy pick.
Well, I mean, I think about it when we were with the International Mission Board and we were in the States for like a 3-month stint or 6 months. And we spent 3 months with my in-laws. And we went to their church, and I mean, it was the first Sunday they had like a men's cookout thing. I signed up for it, you know, like, sure, I'm going to be here for 3 months. Why not get plugged in? Whereas some people would be like, I'm only going to be here 3 months. Why waste my time?
Right.
But we got more involved and more plugged into that church within 3 months. And my in-laws had been going there for years, and we knew more people than they did.
And you'll find lifelong friendships from that.
Too. Yeah. You just never know what'll come from those things. And so you kind of did that as well here. You inserted yourself, you know, you have your gifts and talents and jumped right in. And so, yeah, it was pretty evident.
Hey, before we go on too much further, I want to make sure that our listeners, all 7 of them, I think that we have up to 7.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Wayne. Justin is not, there's nothing going on. He is busy with work. You know, he's got a lot of things going on. That's, I mean, very important thing, great things happening with Justin. And he just needs some time to focus on what he's got to do. So we're, you know, he's got some really exciting things coming up.
Yeah,
so I just want to say, hey, we do miss Justin a little bit, but I miss doing that.
Man.
See, I miss the, I need the engineer.
We need Justin.
He's
back.
The guy that runs the board.
He does. He's way more accurate.
Yeah. Well, because he set it up.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to say that before we got too much further. I also wanted to tell you guys, I do have a praise.
Yeah? Mm. What is it?
Why do you say it like that? I mean, the look on your face.
What is it?
No, I mean, this is a good.
Okay.
I mean, praises are good.
Mm-hmm.
I am down 5 pounds, y'all. Yes, I have been exercising and eating right, and you know, and it's starting to pay off.
All right.
Nope. That is a voice change,
dummy. There you go. Justin, please come back.
All right, thank you.
Wow.
But I am. It's fueling the fire. When you see the results, it fuels the fire.
Ernest, don't get excited about this. Listen, your weight can fluctuate in one day 5 pounds.
Good
if you weighed yourself first thing in the morning and then after dinner, you're going to weigh 5 pounds more. I'm just saying. I mean, when you lose 15, we'll celebrate. We'll hit the button. Because that takes more. I mean, how long have you been doing this? What'd you say?
You got to start from somewhere.
9 days.
There's always a place to start.
Tommy, you're good at starting.
I've been lifting weights since February, March. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. 1,000%. Yes, sir. You know, really the weight loss is in the food.
True.
Yeah.
I know.
Abs are made in the kitchen.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And
or in your case, ab.
Why are you so mean? People are going to take offense to this.
They are?
Yes, because you're bullying me.
Am I?
Yeah. I mean, that's not very loving. You're not encouraging me.
Well, Tommy, you've said a lot of things on here that like you were a vegan?
I didn't say that. You said I tried it.
That's I listened to the podcast over again.
I didn't say I was a vegan.
You were a vegan.
I said I tried it. I'm trying different things to see what works. It's better than not doing nothing. Ernest is shaking his head in agreement.
Okay. All right.
What are you doing?
I'm not going to the doctor to see if my heart's
failing. Well, my heart's good, actually, so I can see what you're doing. You're gaining. I see that.
All right. We're getting way off topic, Tommy. I'll stop trying to be offensive.
Thank you. I was trying to just share something.
You are drinking water right now. That's
I always
good.
Drink water.
Oh, always. Got it. Okay.
So, anyway.
All right. Moving on.
So, hey, Ernest, you know, I would love for you to share kind of your story of coming from Hawaii to
Hawaii-ne.
Yeah, Hawaii-ne, which there's no N in it, but to our area. And it wasn't an easy move for you.
No, it was not. You know, growing up there, I was very content. I did not have any desire to leave. You know, a lot of my friends, they felt like they were trapped, you know, being on an island, not able to go anywhere. Everybody more or less knows you in some way or some fashion. You can't go anywhere without running into somebody, you know. But I never felt that. I was pretty happy there. And you know, we got married out there, Dawn and I had Naraya out there, our first daughter. And after we had Naraya, that's when Dawn really started wanting to, like, she always wanted to move home. But after having her, it was like, I want our daughter to grow up knowing, you know, the family, you know. And Dawn's family is really just in this area for the most part, whereas mine are kind of spread out, you know. So it made sense in a certain way. But, man, I was working for Disney at the time. You know, I was probably 3-4 years into working for Disney. I pretty much had my career.
Were set. You like a character?
Yes.
Really?
So I can say it now because I'm not actively working for them right now. But if I was working for them, the answer would be no. Because you have to preserve the magic.
Wow.
Oh.
Yes.
I need a magic button.
Because, you know, Mickey is Mickey.
Yeah.
Minnie is Minnie. Goofy is Goofy, regardless of where you see them.
And Ernest was.
Friends with Goofy is how you would say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would say that you're a friend of.
Can you do the voice?
Well, you don't talk.
Yes.
But I didn't ask that.
Not very well, okay, probably. All right. I do other voices, but not Goofy. Okay, he's hard.
No, but you're being serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a
you didn't know that
that's what their business model is about, you know. And it's crazy because when you're doing that work, you meet people that 100% believe in the character you're portraying, you know. And there's like, to a certain extent, they understand that there's somebody in there, but like they're able to kind of detach from reality and have moments with Goofy or Mickey or you know.
I mean, I can attest to that in the sense that when my kids were there, especially Micaiah, she was 3. Mm-hmm. She thought she met Cinderella for real.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. It was,
I mean, my
magical.
Kids, we went. It was all about the princesses and all that.
Yeah.
And y'all just recently went, though, too.
We did. Yeah. So the twins got to go and experience that, and they loved it.
Yeah.
Wow. So you were friends with Goofy.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah. Was that fun?
Man, it was so much fun, which was part of the reason why we were fighting was, you know, I had this job that was not really a job to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was work, but man, it was easy. It was right up my alley, you know, I didn't want to give that up.
Yeah.
You know, I had the career path and I was like, what am I going to do in Tennessee? You know, and I'd Google jobs in Tennessee and it would be like freight truck driver, you know. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? There's nothing for me to do over there.
There's nothing magical about this.
There's no Disney here.
Well, you know, I was like, how are we going to live? You know, like all the money that I'm making here and everything like that is going to be gone. What am I going to do? Work at a fast food place? You know. And so we fought about it for a while. And it started to get like in between our marriage. And you know, I think God started really working on me long before I started listening to him about it. Mm-hmm. But it started getting to a point where I would stop and think like, man, like what's really more important here? Like staying here where I'm comfortable in this job that I've got with my future path lined up, or like preserving my marriage, you know, and making sure that we are okay. And so, you know, that kind of started God's work in terms of everything that kind of transpired afterward, right. You know, where he started working on me then, to where I got to the point where I was like, okay, why don't you go? And if you find a job, you know, within a certain amount of time, I'll wrap things up here and we'll just relocate. Now, I knew, you know, with all the family and friends she had out here, I knew that she was going to find something.
Right.
You know, so of course it took her no time at all. You know, I found a job at a school.
Right.
I'm going to be teaching.
Right.
Okay. So I think it was about, they were here for about, I want to say like 6 months, maybe. It was a good stint of time. Maybe not that long. I feel like that's really long.
That's a really long time.
It's a really long time. Maybe it was more like 3-ish. But it was a good chunk of time that they were here and I was just kind of at home, you know, wrapping up and everything like that. And then relocated out here and it was a nightmare for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we get into the nightmare, because I do want to come back to all of that, and there's so much more to your story we're going to talk about. Tell us about, because you mentioned you started listening to God, you felt some things, but let's talk about just your spiritual journey. Where did that all start? What age?
Man, you know, in hindsight, I can really see God's hand on me, you know, like from way back. Like even, you know, as a kid, I would get up on Sunday and walk to church by myself, like as an elementary school kid. You know, my elementary school was pretty close by. And it wasn't that I got up thinking I'm going to go, you know, learn about God. I just kind of got up and did, you know. And it was neat for me to look back and see how, like, God kind of had those things, me do those things, even at a young age, you know. You know, I went to churches, experienced a lot of different types of churches, you know, in Hawaii. You got all kinds, a lot of different services, some that are heavily charismatic, you know, with flags and,
right,
you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, you just kind of, I kind of look back and look at how God allowed me to experience different things, all while he was kind of tailoring and pulling me towards himself.
Right.
And I don't know how old I was. Man, that must have been early 20s. And I remember reading in Matthew 7, where he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who, you know, when they say, didn't we prophesy? Didn't we, you know, cast out demons in your name? He will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you know. That was the verse that really, God really laid hold of me with. And, that would be like, if you were to say, well, what's your life verse? Like, that's it for me, because the thought of hearing him say, I never knew you, depart from me, was what drew me to him.
Sure.
Like, I was like, I don't want to hear that from you. I want to hear well done, you know? So that kind of really started, you know, my whole, I want to say like real journey with him, where.
Well, once again, like I for the listeners out there, like you started out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, went to the Philippines for three years. And then how long were you back in Hawaii until your parents divorced?
So they separated while we were in the Philippines.
Okay.
And that was probably part of why we moved to Hawaii, because my grandmother on my mom's side lived there. And so we ended up living with her, you know, and relocating there. So.
And you have how many siblings?
I have two.
Two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the three of you were basically raised by your grandmother.
Yeah. And my mom too, but she was working like three jobs all the time.
Right.
You know, so our grandmother really did a lot of the like home stuff. You know,
it's still expensive to live in Hawaii, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about growing up there is you don't realize how expensive it is until you experience somewhere else.
So you're the one paying. Oh,
no. Like you just kind of grow up paying those prices.
I get you.
So you're just people go like, man, milk is so expensive. And you're like, what are you talking about? It's always $20. Like, not 20, but you know.
Yeah.
And then you come out here and you're like, I can buy how many gallons?
Right. Yeah.
For how much? Right. Like, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, so you and your two brothers were raised by your grandmother for the most part.
Yeah.
Mom was obviously still in the picture, but dad?
Yeah, dad, you know, we didn't really have much communication with him. I remember seeing like some letters and stuff not really anything else, you know. And I mean, we've reconnected actually fairly recently in my adult years, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, growing up.
Yeah. Which is wild because I feel like, you know, I try to put myself in people's shoes and like how my parents, I'm going next month to celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary, which is great. They've been in the same house 59 of those years, you know? So, I realize now more than ever, just what an anomaly that is, you know? And so, and I felt like as a teenager, like I had to come up with reasons to be rebellious, you know, like, you know? And so, I mean, I could see legitimate frustrations that you might have with God, questions that you have, like, why did my dad leave? Why, you know, why are things complicated? Why are things difficult here? And so maybe using those as reasons or excuses to justify actions kind of thing. But for you to seek the Lord out in the midst of all the stuff, and especially as a young man, that's so commendable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, like God's really kind of just had his hand on me.
Yeah.
Because not having a father in the picture didn't affect me like it did
my brother. Yeah.
You know, I was kind of like a kid beating to my own drum, so to speak. You know what I mean? Where I was always just kind of happy and content and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A kind of oblivious.
Right.
Or, you know, to some of the things that were going on, you know? So, I never, you know, I didn't have issues with my dad. I reconnected really easily with him, you know, didn't hold anything against him. And that's all, you know, God's doing really.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he really shielded me from a lot of that, you know?
So that's who you are though. Like, and you know, like, and I didn't know you then, but just the short time that I have known you, like, you know, you're very optimistic and very positive. Mm-hmm. And so seeing that and that stage, it just makes sense because I know a lot of people that, you know, whether that's finding out who their biological parents are, you know, they just don't even want to go there.
Right.
Not even going to entertain that. But for you to not only entertain it, but forgive and, hey, let's pick up, let's make the most of what we have.
Right.
You know, there's no point in being bitter.
Right.
You know?
And so that's also why it's interesting for me and a little surprising because the way I know you now is exactly how Jeff just described you. But during this transition period that we're talking about, it was like you begrudgingly came to this area.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, all right.
So married.
Do you approve of that word first, begrudgingly? I just.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've.
You did well.
Okay. I mean, just want to make sure that.
Therapeutic pediatric shoes.
I just want to make sure it wasn't, you know, another word you didn't think was a word.
No, you did good. You did good. But. So here you are in Hawaii, you're married, you got a little girl, and your wife wants to move back to Tennessee, away from the most beautiful place on earth.
Yeah.
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 Where you get to live as a friend of Goofy.
I think Tennessee's pretty beautiful.
It's a different beauty.
Thank you.
It's in the eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah.
If you had to pick right now, Hawaii or East Tennessee or West Tennessee, I mean, what would you pick?
I'd pick West Tennessee.
Tell me.
I would.
You are a liar.
Oh, man, I don't want to move away from you.
Not moving. I'm saying to go to right now.
Oh, to visit? Yeah, I visit over there. 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Tommy's just being difficult.
All right. Yeah.
So, married, little girl.
Uh-huh.
wife wants to move back home yep. with her family. What was the driving force for her to want to be back here? Like, tell us what was going on.
I mean, she really just, you know, one, she missed her family. But for her, it was about our daughter experiencing life, how she experienced it growing up.
Right.
Having a large family around you, family support, you know, and you know, just stuff like that was very important to her.
Yeah.
You know. But also having that support of family, yeah. you know, because, I mean, we had my older brother who was still living there at the time, but he, you know, he has his life and he's working. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's just kind of friends and extended family, you know, but nobody we could really be like, hey, can you help watch, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
Nariah for, you know, this or that.
Right.
So it was a lot more difficult in that way.
Yeah.
You know, but coming out here, there's this huge family support. And everything like that. So she just, you know, she that was really important to her.
Yeah.
Was having that and having Nariah grow up experiencing that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So knowing your story now too, I want to ask you, like, how old was Nariah? Like, when did you guys start to notice that there's some developmental things going on?
Her birth was the first, like, she came out not breathing, you know, and they had to take her away and do some stuff. So then she was in the NICU for a while. Mm. She had some lung complications, jaundice, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Was that all in Hawaii?
That was all in Hawaii.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So she was born in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, I think at first when she was really young, we didn't really notice anything. But as she started to grow, we started noticing things like she didn't want to be touched. You know, mm-hmm. like when you held her, she would lean back,
right.
you know, things like that, you yeah. know, where we were like, we noticed that she was kind of developing a little slower in right. terms of what she should have been doing.
Sure.
And then, you know, things started to show up like her seizures and, you know, the strabismus and stuff like that.
So what is that?
Strabismus is when the eyes pull in, when they try to focus and stuff. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Man. So I remember too being, you know, the first time parent with my son and just you're reading the book and the stages and development, you know, and you're like, oh man, he hasn't done this yet. You know, he's supposed to do this by now. And then at the very last second he would do it. And I'm like, okay, you know, so I can imagine, you know, you guys kind of walking through this and discovering, hey, there's something bigger going on here and we need to get some answers. And so what I want to do, Ernest, if you're cool with that, is come back for this next episode.
Yeah.
Because we want to hear this journey with Nariah, because I feel like there's a lot of people out there listening that feel like maybe they're all alone in this yeah. journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
So on this next episode, for next week, I want us to dive into parenting and especially the different challenges with parenting a special needs child. I would love to hear from you. And it's not as about, I think what you will hear is really cool. It's not about parenting the child as so much as is us, you know, you growing and learning. I felt like any parent can learn from what you're going to talk about. So,
yeah. Yeah. So tune back in next week, guys. Thanks for listening.
My bad.